What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Ask Paul. My name is Paul Abernathy. If you've Googled me in a minute, you know that I've spent the better part of 32 years trying to help others understand the National Electrical Code. And as a result, I founded Electrical Code Academy Incorporated, and we are a Texas-based corporation. And part of that, I created a series where you can ask me questions under the Ask Paul at paulabernathy.com. I mean, who else does that, right? I'm giving you access to somebody to help answer your questions. And you're not paying a dime for it. So it's a beautiful thing trying to give back to the industry. So if you have an electrical code question or you have something, and we've talked about all kinds of topics before, you can submit them with an easy online portal, good from any device. Just use a browser. Go to paulabernathy.com, PaulAbernathy.com, write that down, and you can submit your question. No sense going through life wondering the answer. You can get the answer. All you have to do is go submit the question, and it will come to me, and I will answer it either via email or, if selected, in a podcast like the one we're going to be doing today. So thanks again for joining me. Again, if you're not familiar with all of our podcasts and our videos and things like that, then do me a favor. Go over to the website Electrician Live. That's electricianlive.com. I know there's a lot of URLs for you to write down. Go there, and if you go to electricianlive.com, you will see a list of different channels. That is the Electrician Live Broadcast Network, which is something we started recently, and that is going to be the portal for all of our podcasts and videos and other people's podcasts and videos moving forward. For example, we're going to be having a new show coming, a podcast called Kicking It With The King, with the Basement King. Going to have his day-to-day ins and outs of running a business and things that he has to go through and insights to give you kind of some guidance so you don't make the same mistakes as you grow your business or maybe think about getting into business and the little roadblocks that you want to be aware of. But also, you can listen to our Electrify podcast and watch our videos, which is a Simo stream. You can look at the Master the NEC podcasts and videos, as well as you can listen to all of the Let's Ask Paul series right there at one convenient location. Of course, if you want to submit a question, you got to go to paulabernathy.com to be able to do that. Also, if you're really wanting to get a better understanding of the National Electrical Code, you really want to learn the code, you just don't want to kind of muddle through life thinking you know the code or making references to people, where if you ever catch yourself going, well, I think the code says this, but you don't know what the code says, then you want to get into one of our programs. Our Fast Tracks program is without a doubt the leading National Electrical Code learning system out there. The way that it works, the way you work through it, the way you have to go in and out of the code book, the way you have competency reviews, you get to join us on Wednesday nights for live sessions. All that's part of the program, and it's extremely affordable. If you're interested in that, go to electricalcodeacademy.net or go to masterthenec.com, and you'll get there as well. Okay. Also, I should tell you, if you want to get any unique swag, you want to show your pride wearing your Master Electrician hat or shirt or a hoodie or whatnot, check out Electrician Pride. That's electricianpride.com for more of our swag. And you'll be amazed at all the products that we have now available on that website. So check it out. Gift cards are available. And that's all the commercials that I'm going to do this morning. I know you folks hate that, but I got to get that out of the way. It pays the bills. Let's get into today's question that was submitted. Today's question was submitted, and it says, let me see here, let me load it up here. It says, Mr. Abernathy, my understanding is that water pipes grounds are the only electrodes that are required to be supplemented. Can you explain if there are any other electrodes that are required to be supplemented and why? Okay, good question. So if you were in our grounding and bonding series or had my grounding and bonding course, you might not have this question. Or if you were a member on our monthly subscription, you would get access to our webinar that we're doing in November and December, and we're almost done. We only have one leg left, one last three-hour session. You would have found this answer out, but I'm going to explain it today so it's clear that everybody will understand the concept of supplementals and what they mean. And when supplemental is required, when it's not, and all those nuances that are associated with that. Okay, so let's start to answer this question. Let's kind of dig down into the first part of it. He talks about, or she talks about, a metal underground water pipe. Okay, so if you have a house, an older house, And let's say you have a metal underground water pipe that qualifies as an electrode, because that's the first thing you have to remember. It has to qualify. Just because it's there doesn't mean it qualifies. How does it qualify? Well, it's a metal underground water pipe, and it is in direct contact with the earth for 10 feet or more, okay? And if that's the case, then 250.52A1 is about the water pipe. So the thing about the water pipe is that that is an electrode, but the code requires that you supplement it. Now, where do we find that? Well, you've got to jump over to 250.53D. And if you jump over to 250.53D, you'll see metal underground water pipe. Now remember, 250.53 is talking about grounding electrode systems installation. Okay, so that tells us the installations, what we have to do, like ground rods and everything, like the installation process, right? So again, we're over at D. Now what does D say? Metal underground water pipe. Now it says if used, that's important. So if you've got a metal underground water pipe, of course you have to use all electrodes that are available. Okay. And actually, that's even a wrong statement, because now you have to tie all the electrodes that are present. It used to be available. Now all of them that are present, okay, have to be utilized. Now, where do you get that rule? Well, you're going to go to 250.50, and it talks about the grounding electrode system. It says all grounding electrodes as described in 250.52A1 through A7 that are present at H building. So it used to be that are available, and you can make a case for them not being available. No, those that are present means they are there, then they have to be what? All bonded together in accordance with 250.50's general rule, right? So we're establishing that. So again, if we have a metal underground water pipe, and it sounds like in this question, we obviously do, that he's asking, first of all, do I have to supplement it? And is this the only incident in the code where I'd have to supplement an electrode? Okay, so we're there, right? So we're talking about the water pipe. So let's just keep it in context where we're at. Let's keep focused, hyper-focused out there, because I know you guys are on the job. You're pulling your cables. You're working. You're playing it on the site for all your electricians and helpers to listen to. I appreciate you. I know you listen in the car. So let's get hyper-focused here. Metal underground water pipe, if used. So we're assuming in this question that it is used. So if used as a grounding electrode, metal underground water pipes shall meet the requirements of 250.53A1 and, 250.53D1 and D2. Okay, so it's being used in this question. So what's D1 and D2? Well, D1 is continuity. D2, it says supplemental electrode required. Okay, so the first thing is, if you have a metal underground water pipe, and that would be all you had, then you have to supplement it, okay? Now, we're going to read both pieces because I feel it's important to know that it says the and in here. So it has to meet 250.53D1 and D2. So it's not an or here, there's an and. So both are applicable. So D1 says continuity. It says continuity of the grounding path or the bonding connections to interior piping shall not rely on water meters or filtering devices and similar equipment. So if you have water meters filtering it that you're going to bond, you're going to have to bond around it. Okay. You're not going to rely on the going through those water meters or filtering devices in order to meet this ground path. Okay. For this electrode. Okay. You're not going to rely on that. So again, you're going to have to jump around it. And that's where you see people put the jumpers and things around water meters and things like that, depending on where your connection is from your service using your grounding electrode conductor. Okay. You don't want to get the connection in between the electrode to have a water meter. Okay. And then typically you don't make this connection within 5 feet of a point of entry anyway, but we want to make sure that we don't have filters and all that can impede the reliability of the electrode. Okay. First. Okay. Now, talk about the supplement part. And again, if you're following along, it's 250.53D2 now. It says supplemental electrode required. It says a metal underground water pipe shall be, so it's not an option here, shall be supplemented by an additional electrode of a type specified in 250.52A2. And you notice it starts with A2 because obviously you can't supplement a water pipe with a water pipe. So it doesn't start with A1, it starts with A2. Which is in metal in-ground support structures, like I-beams that are in 10 foot of concrete or in direct contact with the earth for 10 feet. Starts from there. So you can't have a water pipe supplement a water pipe. Make sense? Okay. And so it allows you to use the electrodes in 250-52A2 through A8. It says if the supplemental, now listen to this now. It says if the supplemental electrode is of the rod, pipe, or plate type. So it's calling these specifically as the supplemental types. If you're using these types, it says it shall comply with 250.53A. Okay, so we're going to tie this all again in together because, again, being the fact that this chains pieces together, I want to make sure we cover all of this, not just to answer the submitter's question, but to treat it as a lesson. And I will do as I always do. I will do my best to try to paint you a mental picture. People say, why do you repeat things? It's because I've learned a technique where I'm trying to repeat it so that I can put a mental picture in your head. If you don't like my teaching style, there are tons of other educators out there. I encourage you to unsubscribe and go listen to them. You don't need to listen to my stuff because this is how I do it, and I'm not changing for you. So don't worry about it. All right, so now, and all those that do listen can appreciate that statement, really. All right, so it says the supplemental electrode shall be bonded to one of the following. Now, when we say the supplemental electrode, let's make this something really clear. We're not talking about just the rod, pipe, and plates as the supplemental that have to apply to comply with this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're talking about any of the electrodes that are used as a supplemental. The only thing it made about rod, pipe, or plates is to remind you that you still, if you're going to use those, you still got to follow the rules in 250.53A. And I'm going to explain that. But then it goes on to say, you know what? Okay, I just made that statement about rod, pipes, and plates. But in general, this supplemental electrode shall be bonded to one of the following. And that's any of the electrodes that are in 250.52A2 through A8. Whichever one you utilize can be the supplemental, can go to any one of these here. Okay? It can go to the grounding electrode conductor, the grounded service entrance conductor, the non-flexible grounded service raceway, any grounded service enclosure, and as provided in 250.32B. Okay? So, and of course, there's an exception to this rule. It says the supplemental electrode shall be permitted to be bonded to the interior metal water piping as specified in 250.68C1. Again, unobstructed, and there's specific allowances there and that you have to meet in order to be able to do this. Okay, so again, we're not going to be looking at those exceptions because we're going to try to answer the supplemental question, what is required and what is not required to have supplemental. Okay, so first things first, metal underground water piping that's used as an electrode has to be supplemented. If it's a rod, pipe, or plate, which can be used as a supplement, they also still have to meet the rules in 250.53A for rod, pipes, and plates. So keep that on the side. If I use one of the other types that aren't rod, pipe, or plates, then I still, even if I did use rod, pipe, or plates, I'm still allowed to make that connection from that supplemental electrode. Again, remember, we're not talking about the water pipe now. We're talking about its supplement electrode. I can make it to any of these locations here, okay? And it gives us five different aspects of it. And of course, the fifth one's talking about when you have a detached structure and the allowance there as well. So this is where you can make these connections. So let's assume now we have a water pipe ground and it complies with 250.52A1. And I'm going to probably do it in, again, if you have a water pipe ground and you have a UFER, which is a concrete encased electrode, then that is your supplemental and you're done. Okay. You don't have to do anything else. Okay. You got the water pipe because it's there, it's present, and you got the UFER. That is one of the others in a list from A2 through A8. Then I'm just, if it's already there, you use it. Okay. Now, if you didn't have the water pipe ground and all you had was a UFER, that would be fine also. There's no need to supplement a UFER. So remember, we're talking about ones that need to be supplemented. So the water pipe, underground water pipe, is required to be supplemented. Now, in our example, let's say we're using ground rods to supplement the water pipe ground. Okay, so immediately, once we make that connection to the water pipe ground, now we can focus on the supplemental. That supplemental, which to say is ground rods, it can be connected from those ground rods to any of these locations that are listed in 250.53D2, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, depending on the application, okay? It does not have to be connected all the way back to take it back to the water pipe ground. These are other options. It can go to the grounding electrode conductor. Typically, the connection point would be the first 5 feet of the point of entry. Not necessarily, you can't do to the portion that's outside in contact with the earth. We're going to make connections at the 5 point of entry point. Okay. Except in some allowances, again, under the exception. So we want to keep it something that we can recognize. So in this case, we got a water pipe ground, and we decided we're going to supplement because the code says we have to supplement it. We're going to use ground rods. All right, so remember what it says. We have to meet all the rules in 250.53A. Okay, so let's jump to 250.53A first. And here's what it says. 250.53A says ground rods, rod pipe and plate electrodes. It says rod pipe and plate electrodes shall meet the requirements of 250.53A1 through A3. What does A1 say? Okay, my supplemental electrode, which is the ground rods, has to be installed below permanent moisture level, if practicable. Depending on your area, depending on the soil, depending on what you're encountering, if it's practicable to do so, the rod, pipe, and plate shall be embedded below the permanent moisture level. You know what? I don't think most people don't do that. They just drive it down, you know, below the surface, which you really should be driving it below the surface, not exposed up above the surface. It should be below the surface at the minimum, right? But anyway, and it says, and shall be free from non-conductive coatings such as paints or enamels, okay? Well, usually the ground rods would be copper, or they'd be copper clad, or they'd be galvanized. Again, all those things are not paints or enamels or coverings, but being aware that if they were the case, you'd have to remove them for that connection. Okay. All right. So 250.53A1's taken care of. We're driving that bad mamma jamma down. And number two says supplemental electrode required. Now you'll notice that we supplemented the water pipe. However, because it tells us in D2, when we're supplementing the water pipe, it reminds us that the supplemental electrodes, if it's a rod, pipe, or plate, shall comply with 250.53A as well. So that's what we're in. So guess what? I have to supplement the ground rod or the pipe or the plate. If I'm only using one, I have to supplement it unless I can show that it's 25 ohms or less. So by proxy, we're going to have two ground rods or two pipes or two plates, whatever we're choosing. Okay. So here's what it says. A single rod, pipe, or plate shall be supplemented by an additional electrode of the type specified in 250.52A2 through A8. So I don't have to choose a ground rod and put another ground rod in. I could put the ground rod in and I could supplement that ground rod with one of the other types of electrodes that are in the list. I don't know why you would do that. If you're driving a ground rod anyway, chances are none of the other ones are available anyway. So that's why you're using a ground rod in the first place. So it means that I could put in an additional ground rod because it falls between A2 and A8. In fact, the ground rods is A5. So that's why we get two ground rods. All right. So here's what it says. It says a single ground rod, pipe, or plate electrode shall be supplemented by an additional electrode of the type specified in 250.52A2 through A8. It says a supplemental electrode shall be permitted. And again, remember, this is the supplemental to the ground rod, which was in this case another ground rod that's going to be at least, 6 feet apart. It says the supplemental electrode shall be permitted to be bonded to one of the following, rod, pipe, or plate. So I can go from that second rod to the first rod, okay? My original one that I added, okay? Number two, it says grounding electrode conductor. So I could go from that second rod and I could take it back to the grounding electrode conductor that's going down to the rod and make a connection to it, split bolt, fine, because this is a supplemental. Third one says I can make the connection for that supplemental rod to the grounded service entrance conductor. Okay, so making a connection directly to the neutral conductor at some point, usually in the service equipment, by the way. Or I can non-flexible grounded service raceway. So if I have a non-flexible grounded service raceway, maybe on the line side coming in with service conductors in it, and you're doing assured bonding, 250.90 and 92, if that's the case, I could take that supplemental rod and take it and connect it to that non-flexible, grounded service raceway. I don't see people doing that, but you could. I mean, we're talking about the supplemental to the ground rod, which is the supplemental to the water pipe ground. You with me? Okay. Hey, man, this is why we get the big bucks. This can get complicated for many people. And then the last one, five, it says any grounded service enclosure. Okay. So this would allow me to take that supplemental and take it back and take it straight to a lug that's mounted in the service cabinet, not necessarily to the grounded conductor. I could take it to a lug and basically drill and tap it and follow the connection requirements in 250.8 and make a connection right to the service equipment enclosure and be done with it, right? Okay, so again, that's the supplemental. So I have multiple options here. What most people are going to do is they're going to go to the first ground rod, then they're going to just go to the second ground rod. Now, a lot of people think that it has to be continuous through the first to the second. Absolutely not. It's continuous to the first, and from there, you can put a second clamp and you can have what's called a bonding jumper to the second one, okay? Now, if you want to save on a clamp, you can just loop it through the one and go to the second one. That's perfectly fine, okay? That's totally your choice. Or, like I said, you can go to the first ground rod, and then you can go to the second ground rod. You can take it all the way back to the service equipment. You have this list of what you can do with that supplemental to the ground rod, okay? So understanding the context, the supplementals that you have for the supplemental to the water pipe are listed in 250.53D2. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then if you choose a rod, pipe, or plate, then you have allowances over here that you can do the same thing to supplement that rod, pipe, or plate. And where you can take that supplemental electrode to, it gives you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 options here as well. Okay? So, again, different ways to do it. Now, the exception says, and we're looking at 250.53A, the exception, it says, if a single rod, pipe, or plate electrode has a resistance to earth, and you're not going to do this with an ohm meter, by the way, okay? You need a ground resistant meter or 3.4 4-point follow potential. Means you got to have enough land to do it on. Then if you're able to determine that it's 25 ohms or less, then you don't have to supplement the ground rod, pipe, or plate, okay? So, but if you can't show that, obviously, then guess what? If you can't show it, then you got to meet the rules. And of course, the third one is spacing. And again, since that is still under A, that is saying multiple rod, pipes, or plates are installed to meet the requirements of this section. They shall not be less than 6 feet apart. And you notice how this rule for the 6 feet only applies to multiple rods, pipes, or plates in accordance to spatial limitations to other electrodes. Okay, it's very specific with the spacing for this electrode for these supplementals. Okay, all right. Again, so if you want to see overall spacing for electrodes and things like that, then you would go and you would look at rods and pipe electrodes under 250.53A4, and of course you would also look at B, which is electrode spacing, and it's also going to tell you that the A5 through A7s where they're utilized. You know, I'd say 6 feet apart from other electrodes, okay? All right, anyway, not really the topic of this episode because I've gotten you almost to 30 minutes here. So to summarize, water pipe, metal water pipe electrodes, so metal underground water pipe electrodes are required to be supplemented. You have your choice of electrodes to supplement, okay? If your choice to supplement is rods, pipe, or plates, if that is your choice to supplement your water pipe ground, then you still have to meet all of the rules for the rod, pipe, or plates under 250.53A. And a lot of people seem to think that I only need one ground rod if I'm supplementing the water pipe, and that's not what the code says. So basically, you're treating that ground rod system as if it was the only electrode system there. And you still have to follow the rules in 250.53A. You can't just drive one unless, of course, you prove that it's what? 25 ohms or less, and you cannot use a standard ohm meter to do this. So don't let somebody try to stick a lead in the ground or whatever and try to, that's not how it works. Trust me. It's not how it works. All right. So hopefully that answered your question. So the supplemental requirements apply to metal underground water pipes, and supplementals apply to rod pipes and plates. Unless the exception applies, then if the exception doesn't apply, then you're going to have to supplement your Rod Piper plate with another electrode. Doesn't necessarily have to be another Rod Piper plate, but it, obviously you can't supplement a water pipe ground ever with another water pipe ground. Make sense? Okay. So hopefully that answered that question. Again, if you have questions, do me a favor. Go on over to paulabernathy.com and put your name in there. Put your, and if you don't want me to know who you are because you're embarrassed or whatnot, again, occasionally that happens. Use a fictitious name. Create a fictitious email account. All I care about is that you send the question so that I can answer your question and get you the answer you need, okay? And that's all I'm here for. I want to help you learn. And hopefully, I appreciate everybody that supports our programs, that comes to our sessions and donates and helps make this a viable thing for us. Again, we're not here to get rich, but we're here to teach you the NEC and make you a better electrician. And that's what we try to do every day. Till next time, folks, stay safe. God bless.